Welcome to AdultBibleStories.com. Our vicarious God is vicarious people. Your Bible reading plan for 2023. We're reading through the Bible. This is an aggressive Bible plan, but God's Word is needed very much to transform us inside out. All Scripture is important for us, even Old Testament and New Testament. Don't do away with the Old Testament. There's many things that haven't been fulfilled in the Old Testament, and there's many things in the Old Testament that are still alive. And the Old Testament is meant for us to see how God interacts with people, because God is the same. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So in the Old Testament, you do see the wrath of God. In the New Testament, you see the mercy of God. But after you really get to know God, you also see great mercy of God in the Old Testament, and also great jealousy and anger of God in the New Testament. So we're reading through 2 Chronicles. It takes 2 hours and 19 minutes. And if you read 20 minutes a day, you'll do just fine. It's June 24th through 31st. So 7 days. So let's find out what's in 2 Chronicles. So he starts out with Solomon worshiping in chapter 1. Chapter 2, he's preparing to build a temple. King David couldn't build a temple because he was a man of blood. And King Solomon was a man of peace, a time he reigned in peace. Let's see if I can turn this page here. Chapter 3, Solomon builds a temple. Then in this 4, temple furnishings. Some of this can be really boring because they didn't really get down in detail. But if you never read it, I mean, read it. There is some good information in there. You'll understand some things. Chapter 5 continues. The ark is brought to the temple. You know, King David, he brought it to a tent. It's always been a tent. Chapter 6, Solomon blesses the people, and Solomon's prayer of dedication happens in chapter 6. Fire from heaven. God is showing that he accepts their dedication of what's going on in the temple. It goes on to 2 Chronicles. Here's a famous scripture that you've probably seen everywhere for the last 10 years. In chapter 7, verse 14, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Chapter 8, you find out Solomon's accomplishments, but also at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house. So for 20 years, Solomon did well. I mean, he built his house, built the Lord's house. Solomon reigned for 40 years, but you start seeing it go downhill. And Queen Sheba comes in chapter 9. And chapter 9, verse 22, this is interesting. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his mind. And every one of them brought, you know, all kinds of gifts. So I don't know what our secular history says, but I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible when it says that King Solomon excelled in all the kings of the earth and sought the and they all sought his wisdom and came to him. I believe the Bible over what's maybe missing or covered up in our own history books. I haven't, you know, searched on our secular history, the king's histories, to find out. But anyway, I believe the history of Scripture. Chapter 10. You know, Solomon dies and Rehoboam becomes king. Solomon's, the 12 tribes are separated, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam kind of go at it. So there's a revolt against Rehoboam. Rehoboam secures his own kingdom in chapter 11. And you really need to read this fight between Rehoboam and Jeroboam anyway. In chapter 11, verse 17, says, they strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure, for they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. So Rehoboam was a good guy for the, you know, well, there's a lot of times God calls a, you know, person, I guess, good guy. He doesn't quite see things as we do. Of course, God sees, you know, calls evil too when we call it good, but. So Rehoboam reigned for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon before he really starts going bad. In chapter 12, as when the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. That's what happens, you know. We're crying out to God. We need something from him. He establishes us. We start prospering. We start getting, you know, popular or one way or another. And all of a sudden, we don't think we need God anymore. This is the same thing Israel did when he brought them out of the, you know, into the promised land. It says, when you have houses you haven't built and vineyards that you haven't, you know, planted, don't forget me. Don't forget me when you're full. And they did. Chapter 12, verse 14, and he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. There's a lot of things we set. You know, we set our alarm clock to get up, make sure we're not late for work. We set our, you know, maybe set our clocks or set our alarms on our phones to remind us of some show we want to watch, or we set up on YouTube to let us know when a new video is posted. You know, we set up a calendar to remind us of holidays. We set up a calendar to remind us of important dates. But do we set our heart to remind ourselves of God? And he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. We need to set our heart to seek the Lord. You know, sometimes we get some clocks that are, you know, the old time clocks, and especially when the battery starts running down, we have to reset those clocks because they get off. You know, here in the, at least in here in the United States, the 360, 4 days, but sometimes there's a leap year, so there's an extra day. We got to reset our clocks. So we need to reset ourselves to seek the Lord, because if we don't set ourselves to seek the Lord, we're setting ourselves up to seek something else. Same chapter, chapter 13. Jeroboam did not recover his power in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him down and he died. That's why I think 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles is written by the church, because they don't mix words, you know. They just, pretty much God is doing things, and in Kings it's pretty much Satan, or it's just simply natural. Chapter 14, Asa, he was a pretty good king. He did was right. He did was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars. So he did pretty well. He did religious reforms in chapter 15 and Asa's last years. And it seems like all these kings did right until the end. And then they would have a big mess up. Nothing new. I mean, still things happen today. You may have ministers who do great for 20, 30 years of ministry, then trip up. Chapter 16, so the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. So this is talking about Asa, but then he goes on to say Asa was angry at the seer and put him in the stocks in prison. So he kind of turned against the state at the end. Then Jehoshaphat, most people know about him if you've been around scripture for any long. This is chapter 17. He took away the high places. You know, out of Judah, the places where they are high places in America, you know, probably strip clubs and alcohol joints and maybe even the tall banks. You know, the tallest buildings in our cities are banks. We've made money our God, so maybe we take those down or something. I don't know. Chapter 18, Jehoshaphat allies with Ahab. So I don't think Jehoshaphat was always there, and he gets in trouble for, you don't ally with yourself. Scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked, not just in marriage, but with our friendships. You know, it's okay to go out with somebody who's not born again, who doesn't know God, and means to influence them, but we shouldn't be sharing our life with them. We shouldn't be yoking with them, and yoke is like putting two cows together so that they can, you know, plow the field. Well, we can't plow because the field that the world is plowing and the field that we used to plow when we were in the world is completely different than the field that we're supposed to plow in with God. So Jehoshaphat gets himself in trouble when he allies with Ahab. Ahab throws him under the bus pretty quick. Yeah, so we talked about that in 1 Kings. And so anyway, this prophet, so all these prophets tell Ahab that he's going to surely win this fight that he's going to. And Jehoshaphat's not quite sure. Says, don't you got anybody else? You know, this is kind of like, you know, when the president comes out, or, you know, or the prime minister comes out, whichever nation you live in, or China, that he got the 100% of the vote. you know there's something wrong there when 100%. I think I heard the other day a nation came out and the guy said, I got 110% of the vote. That's Americans, you know. But anyway, so Jehoshaphat says, you know, chapter 18, read it. He says, there's got to be somebody else that kind of, you know, plays the devil's advocate here. And Ahab's going, yeah, there's a devil's advocate. He never, you know, he never speaks well of me. So he calls this prophet Micah. And Micah tells him at first, yeah, you're going to win. Go ahead. And Ahab, yeah, you're lying to me. And then he says, finally says, nope, you're going down, dude. And so Ahab has him thrown in prison and says, when I get back, I will deal with you. And Micah said, if you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken to me. And he said, hear all you people. So Micah was pretty bold. Chapter 19, Jehoshaphat gets into some reforms. But once again, you know, but because Jehoshaphat had joined Ahab, and he's not the first one he's going to join with, prophet said to him, the seer, but Jehu, the son of Hananiah, who's very important, you're going to find him later in, you know, in this book, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? So Jehoshaphat helped Ahab. He was wicked, and he hated the Lord. Ahab hated the Lord. There was a place that he did humble himself and he was going to die quickly, and he humbled himself and God had mercy and pity on him and sent a prophet back to him. That's amazing just how wicked you could be, yet how God's heart goes out to those. And so, but Jehoshaphat doesn't learn his lesson. Chapter 20, Jehoshaphat gives a prayer because the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Midianites, these are three groups of people that when they're coming into the promised land, God told Israel not to fight, leave them alone, because I think that, you know, well, we know Moabites came from Lot and his daughters. And so he said, don't fight them, but these three groups want to fight Israel now. And so Jehoshaphat's crying out to God, says, hey, we left these people alone, now they want to fight us, so fight our battle. And that's exactly what God does. Chapter 20, verse 15, at the end of verse 15, it says, the battle is not yours, but God's. And God fights this battle, and they end up killing each other. And there's also chapter 20, where it says, believe his prophets, and you will succeed. Then King James says, believe your prophets, and you will prosper. A lot of people in the charismatics say that. And that is true to a certain point. That was definitely true in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have a better word that comes from Jesus, who was a prophet in Scripture. You know, he was a prophet, you know, while he was alive doing his ministry. He became a priest to give the sacrifice at his death. He's still the priest, making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. But when he returns, he's a king. And you find out there's three groups of people that God deals with. You know, the prophet, the king, or the prophet, the priest and the king. So those are three roles that Jesus is playing. So the Lord delivers Judah from these three groups of people. Chapter 21. Now we get into Jehoshaphat sleeps and his children take over, which is not a good picture. In fact, it's his son that takes over at the end of his reign. It says, and he departed with no one's regrets. You know, I think we got some people in our government that if they were to depart, nobody would have any regrets, even the people that were for him. So chapter 22 goes on to some more kings and more rebellion. 23, you think you run into a good king, Joash, but once again, just when they think you're going well, you choose somebody and yeah. So Joash was right. This is verse chapter 24. Joash did what is right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now this guy, I've never heard this guy mentioned, but he was a spectacular guy, and God greatly blessed this guy. But anyway, it says as long as he was reigning and helped Joash because he was 7 years old when he began to reign, he did well. But as soon as the church doesn't, you know, is no longer taking its place, the state, you know, goes off course. But here's more about Jehoiada. Grew old and full of days and died, and he was 130 years old at his death, which is, that's pretty spectacular. I mean, at the end of people are living to, 900 years, more than that, 969 years, I think, of one guy in the Old Testament. But those days began getting short during Noah, and where God says, I will not go with man more than 120 years. And you see Moses, who reached 120 years, he died at 120 years, according to the law. And but even then, life's expectancy started going down further and further. In fact, I think Moses said people are not living living 60 and 70 if they're seeking the Lord. They're dying early. And so this is way after Moses here, and he lives to be 130 years. So God was very pleased with this man. So Joash finds himself assassinated at the in chapter 24. Because he didn't listen. Then he had chapter 25, and it says, Amaziah, verse 2, chapter 25, and he did what is right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. But here it says, he did right in the eyes of the Lord, but not with his whole heart. Make sure you're returning to the Lord with the whole heart, or you're going to get a mixed bag of blessings. So, and this is chapter 25, verse 12 says, the men of Judah captured another 10,000 people alive and took them to the top of the rock and threw them down from the top of the rock, and they were all dashed to pieces. Can you imagine throwing 10,000 people off a cliff? I'm telling you what, the Bible has some stories. Amaziah's idolatry starts in chapter 14, or chapter 25, verse 14. And he starts striking down. This is crazy. And as I came down from striking down the Edomites, he brought their gods of the men of Seir and set them up as his gods and worshipped them, making offerings to them. And he jumped down, this prophet comes in and says, why have you sought the gods of a people who did not deliver their own people from your hand? That's got to be a dumb thing. I mean, you kill your enemy and take their gods and bow down their gods. What good did their gods do to, But this is what happens here even in America, our God being money. Republicans or Democrats, I know I'm saying some things. Chapter 26, more stuff about kings. And he did what is right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in his days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That is always true. Then he gets caught up in pride, and he gets his punishment. He thought he could do some, King Uzziah was a pretty good king, but then he rises up in pride, and that's what happens to people, even under the New Testament, even being born again. So he rises up and thinks he can do the priestly thing, so he goes into priest ends up being a leper. So, and the priests will warn them not to do that. Then Jotham in chapter 27, Ahaz in chapter 28. They all, some of them do not serve God at all, and they're wicked. But some of them start out well, and then they get contaminated with the culture, contaminated with their own pride, contaminated with the blessings of God, just like Satan was. He was high and lifted up because of his beauty. God had made him beautiful. We can't take pride in something that God did that we didn't do ourselves. Chapter 29, Hezekiah reigns in Judah. Once again, he's a great guy. You're listening to him. All right. But then you find out more about Hezekiah and Kings, and you're going, dude. I mean, really, people are not, any different. We may think of, high government officials, whatever country you come from, and thinking they're smarter than everybody else, and they're built a different way, and to find out, especially when they get to old, they're no different than us. I mean, they do some stupid stuff. Passover is celebrated in chapter 30, but not the way God intended it to. Although Hezekiah prayed and God honors the heart, and so he healed the people. Hezekiah organized the priests, which we haven't heard about that since King David did that. Then 32, Judah gets invaded because we're getting to the end of the reign of Israel, and there's blasphemy going on. The Lord delivers Jerusalem, Hezekiah's pride and achievements. And so God, Hezekiah is humbled, and God says, I'm not going to do this thing in your lifetime. It's going to happen in your children, children's children. Hezekiah, as you find out in the book of Kings, he's okay with that. So chapter 33, he has a 12-year-old son that begins to reign, and he's just completely wicked. But then he repents and changes, but his son takes over and is wicked. Then you have Josiah in chapter 34. And this is maybe where we are here in the United States at the end. And if you don't look at, I mean, if you look in the newspapers or look outside or look online, I don't think people do check out newspapers much anymore. How we are falling at an exceedingly high rate. And Joe was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And so he began seeking the Lord at 8. The book of the law I found, so he reads the law. He begins restoring, keeps Passover the right way. It says, chapter 35, verse 18, no Passover like it has been kept in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. None of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as was kept by Josiah. So maybe I'm thinking about 2020 when the whole world was shut down. No, and the whole world was kind of forced and under Passover. Some people call it Easter. We're at home. Everybody's at home. There's a sickness going throughout the world. So this is kind of like Josiah happening here. But Josiah is killed in battle. He's arrogant once again. And even his enemy tells him, hey, I'm sent by your God to do these things. And the battle's not against you, against these other people. But Josiah kind of took off his kingly robes like Ahab did and wanted to fight. And just like King Ahab, Josiah has a horrible end, which I believe probably will happen to America. I think God still has some things for America before Jesus returns, but America's end, I think, is going to be like 70 AD. So Judah's decline is in chapter 36. And the verse 15 here says, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messenger of God, despising his word, scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people and until there was no remedy. And that's what's happening. Jesus will return to save his saints, which will be small and few. He says the road is narrow, but for salvation, but the road is wide for the wicked. So when people quit listening to the priests, when people quit listening to prophets, when people quit going to church and disdaining the word of God and saying the word of God is nothing, God is nothing, then the end is near, the end is here. Jesus will save his remnant, and the rest will be judged by the Lord in compassion, first on the earth. And every man is given once to die, then face judgment. So all the wrath that God pours out upon this earth is for to bring you to repentance, bring me to repentance, because once you die, there is no mercy and you are what you are. So go ahead and read 2 Chronicles. Thank you.